Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
We started last week this new series. It's a 7-week series exploring how to be a Christian in 7 probably not easy steps. And we started last week with what are some things in our tradition, the Christian tradition, that have been hurtful, that have been harmful. And I think it was good that we start there, that we start with some ways that we can not treat people in our lives, not treat the world. And now we've dealt with some don'ts, and so now we're going to move into some do's. And I think it's important that we start with, like, what's our biggest priority? Now, I want to ask a couple of questions as we think about our first do, as we think about priorities. And I want to challenge you to be bold in your answers to this, because I'm going to invite some feedback as we talk this through. So I'm going to invite you to be bold, to be courageous, perhaps, even if your answer is something that, you know, maybe you think your answer could be better than it is, but this is what it is. I want you to own that and be bold in it. But before we talk about us who are necessarily in this room, I want to ask a question that'll lead us into that one. So my first question is this. When it comes to our culture, when we look at our United States, when we look at the world we live in, the country we live in, what seem to be the priorities in our culture? What seem to be some of the priorities in our culture? Money. What was that? Yeah, financial stuff. Good, good. What else? What seems to be the priorities in our culture? What else do you see? Power. Good. What else? Say it again.
Celebrity.
Celebrity. Yep. Good. Good. Any others? Self. Good. Stuff. Yeah. Material stuff. Sure. 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 Anything else? Family is a priority in our culture. Good. I hope so too, but sometimes it doesn't look like it. That's why I'm asking the question. I agree. What else? Winning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Yeah, being seen as classy or sort of top of the heap kind of thing. Sure, sure, good. Now, here's my next question. When it comes to each of us personally, what are your priorities? Whether it matches up with culture or not, what are your priorities? Coffee, all right. Good. You said that and Lewis almost spit his out. Being positive. Love it. All right. What else?
Family.
Love. Family. Good. What else?
Compassion.
Feeding people. What was that?
Health.
Yep. Yep. Good. Any others? Faith. Good.
Serenity.
Serenity. Now, are you talking about Firefly? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Firefly is a TV series slash movie that sci-fi folks will especially enjoy. Lord, grant me the serenity. Just that. Just grant me the serenity. I'll take care of the rest. Uh-huh. Good, good, good. But serenity, I'm going to take what you mean by that, Joe, serenity as peacefulness.
Yes.
Good.
You asked the question in a different order this time.
Got it. My bad. Any other responses? I'd invite you to think about this as a priority. Relationships. I want you to think about relationships as a priority. And in order to sort of look at how we might see relationships as a priority in our faith life, I think that we can learn from Scripture. So I'm going to invite Joan to read from us. This is a scripture out of the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is asked a question really about priority. And listen for how his answer leads us into a conversation about relationship.
This is from Mark 12, verses 28 to 34 from the Common English Bible. God's most important command. One of the legal experts heard their dispute and saw how well Jesus answered them. He came over and asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus replied, "The most important one is, 'Israel, listen, our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your being and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You will love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.' The legal expert said to him, 'Well said, teacher. You have truthfully said that God is one and there is no other besides him. And to love God with all of the heart, a full understanding, and all of one's strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more important than all kinds of entirely burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered with wisdom, he said to him, 'You aren't far from God's kingdom.' After that, no one dared to ask him any more questions."
Now, in the time that this legal expert asked Jesus this question, when we think about the context of first century Jerusalem, the context is this. It's a community filled with mostly Jewish folks with, you know, some Roman overseers and a few sort of other folks who are generally marginalized. But it's primarily, especially being asked in the temple, a group of faithful Jewish people. And when you talk about commandments, what is the law? What is it that the law says? Well, there's 600 and something laws that all faithful Jews at the time had to follow. Now, here comes somebody and says, "Well, what's the ones that I need to focus on the most?" Jesus says, "I got two." Now, to go down from 600 and something to two sounds like it's got to be a lot easier. If you had a list of 600 rules that you had to follow every day, and then somebody said, "Let's throw those out and I'm going to give you two," doesn't that sound like it'd be easier? Doesn't it? I see a lot of nodding heads. A lot of people think that would be easier. Did you read those two rules? There's nothing about those that's easy. Love your God with everything you have, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Everything you have, every moment of your day, love your God. Even the times that you're doing something you know you shouldn't be. Every moment of your day, think about God and love God. I can't think about much that's easy about that. I really can't. And the second one doesn't get any easier. Love your neighbor as yourself. Even that neighbor who always lets their dog do its business on your lawn.
Maybe you love your dog.
Maybe you love your dog too. And the neighbor's dog. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's nothing about these two rules that's easy. And I submit to you that as we look at what are how to be a Christian in seven steps, that this faith journey is not easy. None of this is designed to be easy, in my opinion. And, number one, I think that's a good thing, and number two, I think it's worth it. I think the work that it takes to be a person of faith, the work that it takes to love your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul, the work that it takes to love your neighbor as yourself is hard work, and it's worth it. One of the other Gospels, Jesus is challenged with this scripture. And he not only answers in a very similar way, but he also tells a story. And he tells a story as a response to a follow-up question. And I hope it's a familiar story, because it's the one where the follow-up question goes, "Who's my neighbor?" And Jesus tells a story about someone who's traveling along a road and gets beaten up and left for dead. And three upstanding citizens pass by and ignore him, until the Samaritan comes by and offers both short-term and long-term help. Now, who is the Samaritan? We use this phrase, the Good Samaritan, all the time. Oh, it's somebody who does good stuff. But in that culture, that's not who the Samaritan is. The Samaritan is the person who's marginalized. The Samaritan is a person who thinks of God in a different way than the chosen people do. The Samaritan is the person who doesn't ritually do the things that they need to do so that they can approach the temple, be in the temple. The Samaritan is the outcast. The Samaritan is the marginalized, and it's this person who, when Jesus asked, "Who is your neighbor?" The one who offered aid, the Samaritan, the one who was outcast, that's the neighbor. But I submit to you that there are layers to this text that we can learn from. Because maybe if we see somebody doing something good, something that we can identify as a good thing, maybe it's okay to love that person even if they have a questionable background. But here's my next question. What about the priest who walked by and didn't do anything? Is that your neighbor too? Should we love that person too? What about the Levite who passes by and doesn't do anything? Should we love that person too? Is that our neighbor too? What about the person who voted different from you in the last election? Is that your neighbor too? Should you love that person too? You know, we can giggle about this. We can laugh about it. We can make a joke about it. But if we're really raw and honest about it, whichever candidate you voted for, think about the other candidate. Is that person your neighbor too? Is that person someone you, as a person of faith, are called to love? Think about, I mean, this is a theologically and socially progressive church, right? I think we can all agree on that. Right? Leaving the politics aside, okay? A theologically and socially progressive church. I think that we can probably agree on that. But somebody who is not theologically or socially progressive, is that your neighbor too? Is that someone that we are called to love? We talked last week about the six clobber passages that are used to beat our gay and lesbian siblings over the head. The people who use those clobber passages, are those people our neighbors too? Are those people those who we are called to love? I tell you, my friends, we might dwindle 600 and something commandments into two, and there's nothing about it that's easy. In the times that we feel broken, in the times that we feel tempted, in the times that we feel like we don't even want to acknowledge a God, God calls us to love God anyway. I tell you, in my own personal experiences, I have had an angry relationship with God from time to time. I have said and done hurtful things specifically designed to hurt the God that I always believed in, but that I was mad at. When I think about my relationship with my dad growing up, boy, there were times, oh my goodness, that one or both of us would walk away from a conversation or a situation angry or hurt or both or feeling betrayed. So I invite you to think now. Think now about a relationship that you have had. Maybe it's an important relationship. Maybe it's one you'd rather forget about. And think in that relationship about what it might look like to show that kind of deep and profound love that Jesus talks about when he tells us to love our neighbor. Now, loving our neighbor isn't the only part of that second commandment, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. I wonder how easy it might be. Well, I'll just give everything I have to others and forget about myself, which sounds sort of selfless and wonderful, except, gosh, isn't self-care pretty important? Can't we do more loving of our neighbor if we also practice good self-care? Can't we do more loving of our God if we practice good self-care? Not to the point of selfishness, but to the point of sustaining ourselves so that we can do more good work, so that we can do more loving, so that we can be in a deeper relationship with our God, because that's what it's about. What kind of relationship do you have with your neighbors, all of those neighbors that we've talked about? What kind of relationship do you have with your God? Here's a challenging question for you. Is your relationship with God limited to Sunday morning? Is your relationship with God something that you nurture and experience throughout your week? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love God with everything you have. And while practicing good self-care, love your neighbor. Even the one you don't like. Even the one you disagree with. Even the one who's hurt you and broken your heart. Because think about this. When we talked about the priorities of the world, the priorities of our culture, the priorities that seem to make it onto the nightly news and the hit TV shows, when we think about those priorities versus this priority of relationship, what would be different if the world reflected a priority of relationship? How would the world be different if we were all collectively willing to build relationships with each other? I submit that it would be a miraculous change. I suggest that it would be a change worthy of celebration. I'd like to close with a few quotes. I found these in a little bit of looking this morning. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Here's another quote. Those who are not looking for happiness are the most likely to find it, because those who are searching forget that the surest way to be happy is to seek happiness for others. And here's a third quote. People fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. These three quotes are from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow. It's my invitation to you, my friends, to seek out ways to build relationship, to nurture relationship. Build and nurture relationship with your God. Build and nurture relationship with your neighbor. In this way, the world may be transformed. Friends, we come together into a time of prayer where we, together as a community, connect with one another in both celebration of those things that bring us light and life, and also for those things that we face that are challenging and for which we need support. Holy and gracious God, we are glad to be in community this day. We are glad to be in this spirit of love and care and relationship, where we might lift up our joys and our concerns and know that in this circle of friends, we are uplifted and strengthened and celebrated and held. Holy God, we lift up all these things to you and any that are left unsaid. As we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.